York, New York, big city of dreams.
I'm coming straight out.
New York, New York, big city of dreams.
NYC.
Yes, let's go. What's going on? This is Jay Ellis from Nick of Time Show. He'll give you that Nick's talk just in the nick of time. And guess what? You already know. We outside, okay? Because the Knicks beat the 76ers at home 111-104. And I'm going to read you some stats, all right? OG Anunoby gave you 11 points, 4 rebounds, and a steal. Hartenstein gave you 6.7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. Brunson gave you 22.7 assists, 7 rebounds, and a steal. Bojan came off the bench with 13 and 7. Big Mitch gave you 8 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 blocks. Let's go, Mitch. Let's go. McBride gives you 21 points and 4 assists. All right. And we got to talk about Josh Hart, all right? Because Josh Hart stepped into this game and he came to play and gave you 22 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists. And what did he have? The career high 4 threes in the playoffs, shooting 4 from 8. Leaving that boy open. Don't leave that boy open no more, all right? The Knicks did their thing. We were worried about the non-Brunson minutes. Well, guess what? The bench came. The bench showed up and outscored them 42-7, all right? We outscored them 42-7 from the bench. We out-rebounded them 66-41, and we shot better from three. 45% from three to 34% from three. And the Knicks take home the win and beat the 76ers. Game, set, blouses. Everybody talking about, oh my God, the Knicks, I can't believe they won. They should avoid the 76ers. Why would they do that? What are they saying now? We don't duck the smoke. We run into the smoke, okay? We got the horses. We got the players. We got the vibes. We got the defense. We got the shooting. We got the team to take down the 76ers. And we proved it today by taking on the 76ers and taking them down game one Knicks. Let's get it, man. And I'm going to introduce you to my guys. First and foremost, it is the man, the myth, the legend, the guy with the stats and the facts.
Ryan G's in the building. Knicks have several MVPs tonight.
Yes.
That helped propel them to the victory. I'm outside, but I'm still going to keep the serious vibes. Job not done. Nice game one victory. We got 3 more to go. Let's go.
Let's get it. Job not done. And you already know it's the Latin assassin. Lee Escobedo's in the building. What's going on, Lee? What's going on?
I want to tell a little story. 2004 was the first time I ever watched the Knicks in the playoffs. And I grew up very poor. My dad had to work Saturdays in the morning to make ends meet. He was working in a machine shop. And it was the first time I ever watched the playoffs. So I was calling him nonstop, letting him know what was going on, letting him know how hard Penny Hardaway was working, letting him know how hard Kurt Thomas was working, because he had to be at work and he had to put in those hours to make sure we had food on the table and the rent and lights were paid. So today, to be able to watch my dad, self-made millionaire, building homes here in South Dallas for Black and Brown people, it was one of my proudest moments to be able to watch in his mansion on his big ass TV that he made from the ground up, to be able to watch our Knicks win together. And from where we came from to where we are now was a success story in its own. And that's not even beginning to talk about the Knicks, but the fact that my life is parallel with how the up of the Knicks, with the up of my own life, and to be able to watch now, instead of being alone in Dallas, just me and my pops, to have you three with me in the chat and Fritz and Knicks Twitter to be able to enjoy this win together is something special. Let's go, Knicks!
Yeah! Let's go. And, of course, you already know Rookie of the Year in serious business right now. I see the all-black hoodies in the bottom. I don't have the black hoodie, but I got the black sweat. I see what's going on. I catch the vibes. It's our girl, our queen, XD1 Baller, Ebony in the building. I already know where this conversation is going today. I already know you passing out the apology forms. I already know where it's coming. She told y'all.
Print them up. Beat him up. Beat him up.
Beat him up.
Come on. There's levels to this. There's levels to this. My guy Mitch showing playing disciplined defense on his Bill Russell. You ain't got to block every shot. You just got to make people think you're going to block every shot. Mm. Like, come on. Come on. Come on.
Come on, man. Yeah, man. Shout out. He did that. Let's get to it, man. I'm excited to talk about this game. I want to start off by saying this. There are a few players who caught flack all year long. And it's crazy. The reason we won this game was probably the players who caught the most flack all year. And the only one who didn't contribute who caught the most flack was Alec Burks. Right? But everybody else who caught flack all season long was the reason we won this game. Deuce, Josh Hart, Mitch, Bojan, all of those guys are the reason why we won this game. If those guys didn't show out, we lose this game. So give it up. Give it up to the guys who kept fighting, who kept crawling, who just worked every day, figured out their game, trusted their teammates, they block out the noise, and didn't care what any fan had to say. They just came to work and did their job, all right? And there's a lot of places to start, but I'm starting with Deuce McBride, who I'm not going to hold you. I was like, after the second quarter, when the Knicks were down, I think like 10, and the bench came in, and I was like, oh, here you go to the Mount Brunton minutes. What are we going to do? The bench got the lead back in a flash. Deuce, Bojan, Mitch got it back in the flash. And I'm looking at how Deuce is guarding Maxi. And I'm remembering how Deuce was the exact dog. I remember how Deuce was guarding Maxi before this game. I'm just like, Tibbs, I don't know. This might be time to start Deuce. It might be time to start Deuce during the series, especially if they're going small Kyle Lowry and Brunson. You might want to consider it. And lo and behold, Tibbs closed with Deuce. Closed with Deuce and Jalen Brunson. So to me, Deuce actually played on ball. All season long, he's been playing off ball. Crunch time, he's playing on ball. Hits a big three off a screen with Jalen Brunson in the game, called his own number. Ran the offense, moved the ball, played defense, hit big shots, locked down Maxi. Because did you hear him from Maxi after he got back in the game in the fourth quarter? No. I don't know, man. I know we got OG to lock down certain players, but Maxi seems to have OG's number. I think we need to call Deuce's number. I don't know. That's what I'm looking at. I don't know what. I see a lot of head shaking yeses. Who wants to talk about it?
I'll start off then. I was definitely gonna mention that. You know, you already said it. I think for game two, I think Thibs has to definitely take it into consideration that he has to start McBride on Maxi in the backcourt to have a Brunson McBride backcourt, because when OG's on Maxi, I think Maxi's a bit too quick for him, and Maxi's able to drive by him and get to the basket at ease. And McBride is really the only guy the Knicks have that can really shut down Maxi and not allow to get Maxi going. So I think McBride does have to probably start from game two forward, because you have to remember playoffs is about matchups.
Yeah.
And I even go a bit further. I think Mitchell Robinson should start as well for the rest of this series. And I think the lineup going into game two should be Mitchell Robinson, OG, Josh Hart, McBride, and Brunson, because the series is about matchups, and that starting five matches up the best against the Sixers. So I think they should definitely have heavy consideration to start that lineup going forward. But McBride, this series is really like the first series where he's actually had like significant minutes in the playoffs, and he showed out. He showed out. He shocked me because I wasn't expecting this from McBride for like the first game where he's played significant minutes in the playoffs. He had some big shots, especially when the Knicks were down and the Knicks needed a spark to get back into the game. McBride hit some big three-pointers to get the Knicks back in the game. The defense he played on Maxey was exceptional, and McBride is one of my MVPs for this game. If it wasn't for McBride's play, I don't know what would have happened with the Knicks going down the stretch, but exceptional defense, great shot making. You have to give McBride his flowers for this game. He showed out.
So.
Let the queen go next.
Okay. Thank you. My keys for the game were we can't beat ourselves, which was meaning we had to hit our free throws, play defense without fouling, and take care of the ball. I think we did fairly well with everything except for maybe the free throws. We missed a couple free throws, but other than that, I think otherwise that we did very well. With Deuce was one of the three guys I mentioned. The three guys I mentioned actually had great games. Josh Hart took a minute. He had a little crazy fouls here and there. He had to get it settled down. He had to settle down, but once he did. He didn't have 4 3-pointers all season until today, yeah.
Crazy.
Until today,
Crazy.
right? So Deuce McBride, I knew I had a feeling that he would have a big game because last preseason it stuck out to me that he only played 5 minutes, but those 5 minutes, y'all, were so impactful. And if he could hit jump shots, I'm like, okay, his defense is going to impact games. So if he gets his jump shot, he gets to stay on the court.
Right.
So I had nothing but faith. And you hear the stories about him in college too, being always the underdog, West Virginia, what they did. I had faith in Deuce that he would have a big game. I don't know. It just I did. So he was one of the three. And then my third, Big Mitch. So yes, I definitely is deep. Deuce McBride, I didn't think the lights would ever be too bright for him, to be honest. I seen what he did last year when he wasn't supposed to play. You understand? So
Yeah,
now
I
that you
agree.
expected to play, and you get time to lock as a defender, you get time to lock down on a specific who you're guarding. Like this is just we don't play another team next tomorrow. It's you. As a defender, you pick up 10, you see little things, you pick up little things, and they're gonna be all right.
I agree.
Shout out Robert Paris 499 Super Chat. Winning is so damn sweet. Tibbs already watching film and making adjustments. We love you, Robert Paris. That's my uncle right there. Also, shout out another super chat. We got Isaiah Ramos, $23. 23 for number 23, Mitchell Robinson. He was a difference maker today. I absolutely agree. Let's go, KOT show. Best Knicks game show out there. 100. 100% agree. Mitchell Robinson, the MVP. I'll be the first to apologize, Miss Queen Ebony. I said that the gap between Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein was not as wide as we all think. No. I was wrong. Because Joel Embiid on one leg hooked Isaiah Hartenstein. Everyone knows I love Hartenstein. I got a love for Berlin. It's my favorite city in the world. Let me tell you something. Isaiah Hartenstein got absolutely cooked in every way possible by Joel Embiid in that first quarter. Tibbs. Shout out Tibbs. The unsung MVP of this game after Mitch benched I Hart and played Mitch the most minutes he's played since coming back from injury. And I believe Embiid only scored one field goal on him. The rest were free throws. And the one field goal he scored was that dunk that sent him to the floor. Mitchell Robinson's ball denial, his one-on-one defense, the rim protection, the footwork, staying in front of Embiid was elite. It was a master class and big on big defense. Pause, no diddy. I loved watching Mitch have that moment of glory after being out for months with an injury to come back and dominate in that fashion. Still got looked off of for lobs, but found his points where he could. And when he got the offensive rebound, when he finally threw it down for a dunk, I was up in the air. I was like, Mitch, that's what I'm talking about. Dunk the damn ball. That's when you do, no one can stop you. And then they hit those two free throws. It was a full encompassing game for
Yes.
Robinson. clutch from top to bottom. To me, he was the MVP, the difference maker tonight, being able to contain an MVP player like Joel Embiid. Mitchell Robinson, game ball. Wow.
Yeah, I want to say something too. Oh, you want to say something? I see you took yourself on mute, Ebony.
It's levels to this. It's levels to this. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, I'm just, my guy's a dog. He's a dog. First one in the gym today. A dog. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, once you got that defensive part, you good in my book.
I agree.
You good in my book because the offense can come.
Yeah.
That second jump is looking that he getting in shape. I said that week was going to be big for him because he can get some legs, his timing. He can get back and be him. He looked good. He looked like he shed a little pounds and everything in that week.
Yeah, he did. He looked a little lighter. Definitely a little lighter.
That second jump was very Carmelo-ish. Like,
it was
very, very, like, I was like, oh.
Yeah. That was probably one of the Mitch plays of the game where Mitch timed the block on Maxey.
Yeah.
Then saved the ball from coming out of bounds and throwing it off for him to save the possession.
That was another second jump. And the other second jump was when he did the dunk.
Right.
He got his own rebound and did a jump. And B didn't jump once. He jumped twice.
And here's the thing I've been saying about Mitch. Since last season, I always felt like Hartenstein actually shocked me the way he played Embiid in the regular season. Because he actually shocked me how well he played Embiid in the regular season. Did not see that today. Definitely seen to see it today. Hopefully that Hartenstein comes back. But for me, when I argued about why we should keep Mitch, it's always been Mitch is better suited to play bigger centers. Because there are a few big centers in the NBA where we get ate up because of the size difference. Embiid cannot bully Mitch like he bullies anybody else on this roster. And there's not like a whole bunch of bully centers on this league, but there's a few. There's like Embiid, but Valanciunas, or the long guys like Clint Capella, or like there's guys like that who we might struggle with if we just have one center. But when we have Mitch, it neutralizes that. And I'm glad that he got into shape today and he was able to prove that, hey, I can take on these type of centers. I'm the matchup you want to go to if you want to take out Embiid. Now, hopefully, Hartenstein can get it back and get back to what he did before. I also feel like Hartenstein was a little nervous because first shot of the game, he only got one shot. He got that one floater where he missed it. But, you know, the whole team was kind of missing in the beginning. It was a lot of in and outs. I think we were all kind of jittery. Except for go figure Juice McBride. But I think Mitch showed his value today on why we need him and how he matches up against those big boy centers in the NBA. All right. So shout out to Mitch McBride, Deuce McBride, who taking the step, actually playmaking in the fourth quarter, having Jalen Brunson play off ball in the fourth quarter, which is crazy to see because he hasn't really been doing that during the season. And shout out to Mitch, who stepped up and showed his worth and played 30 minutes a day. And he played so well, Hartenstein stayed on the bench this game. But we need to talk about Josh Hart. We need to talk about Josh Hart. Because if you watched the pregame breakdown yesterday that we did, Lee talked about how Josh Hart was an X factor, the big X factor. And I said, that baby is going to have to hit jump shots and have to hit three pointers because they're going to purposely leave him open. So he can play well, but there's going to be a time where they're going to leave him open in a big moment and he has to hit a shot. And boy, did he do that today. I think he knew. I don't think you can go into this series and not be prepared to shoot that shot after. Let's be frank. Josh Hart crapped the bed last year versus Miami. He did. He got scared. He crapped the bed last year in Miami. He hit those shots today. He hit those shots today in big moments. And thank God that the Knicks didn't get scared and duck the smoke and played in front of the home crowd, because that home crowd, it gives you that a little bit of extra confidence if you're missing it. You know, that home crowd gives you the extra juice. So when he hit one and you hear the crowd go, your chest starts to swell up, the adrenaline gets going. Next time the ball goes to you, you're just letting it fly. Next thing you know, Josh Hart getting 4 threes in a row. And he's having career high, career nights. So that guy who's that perfect glue guy, that hustle guy, when he starts to hit those threes, he becomes a dangerous guy. And that's what Josh Hart was for me today, man. Dangerous. Game ball is going to Josh Hart.
Definitely. And again, I talked about Josh Hart mentioning he gets soul-crushing rebounds. And he got a couple of those today. Matter of fact, in the game, he got a soul-crushing game-ending offensive rebound.
Facts.
I know players like him because I used to play like Josh Hart. I understand him, except I had a better jump shot. So I understand what that is. The one to play, you fill up the whatever your team needs, you're going to do. And even if it's just effort, even if it's just making it uncomfortable, whatever it is, you know you're going to get effort out of him. He's not going to quit. That's what you can guarantee with Josh Hart. And in a playoff setting, that feels bigger because you need somebody to not ever quit, to not think about things. And you can tell that, again, last year was his first time being in the playoffs. He's learned.
True.
You can see that right now. You see that he's not always just taking jump shots. He head faked and then went to the lane a couple times. Not just living and dying by the three also, and not being scared of it either. So, like, he had a good mixture of being himself and giving and taking what the defense was giving him. And on top of that, his offensive rebounds, because I think it was one of the Mitch offensive rebound he got, but we missed a couple shots. Josh Hart got a rebound and then got fouled, and he hit two free throws and put us back up by five or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, again, these soul-crushing rebounds. And then, again, helping with Jalen Brunson. When it got stagnant, who asked for the ball?
Right.
It was Josh Hart. It was Josh Hart. Let me help get something going. So, like, invaluable. We have so many people that can impact the game in so many different ways. That's why we're so dangerous. Because you can get the guy that rebounds, gives you 10 rebounds or so, and you could say, huh, get Jalen Brunson a jump shot, please. Or get us a bucket if you start from, you know, get some momentum kind of thing, you know? So,
I agree. We're Josh blessed. Hart, offense rebound count, 4 offense rebounds for Josh Hart, 5 for our Hart and Stein as well, and a surprise entry for our offense rebounds, who I'll talk about later. All right.
I know where you're going with that one. Shout out Josh Hart. Yes, he was my X factor. I said it on the KOT show, and I said it on SNY this morning. Shout out Dexter Henry for having me on representing KOT for that first playoff game preview. And I thought Josh Hart would average close to 20 points this series. Why? Because there is no one on Philly that has the legs and stamina to stay with him besides Maxey. And Maxey is probably not going to be guarding Josh Hart most of the time on ball. So Josh Hart is able to run around and inspire guys like Kyle Lowry, Nicholas Batum, Buddy Hield, who don't have the legs or the energy or just a defensive acumen to stay with him. And he's able to be a one-man chaos to cause disruption on the offense and defensive end. And it, as J.O. has always said, he was active in a short role as a playmaker. He was crashing the boards as an offensive rebounder, and he was hitting those threes. If he hits those threes, this game could end a lot shorter than all of it expected if he is able to hit that three. It's not just an extra 3 points. It's backbreaking, because at that point, Philly's exerting so much energy to stop the obvious Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, and the option, as Obi was last year, shoot all the threes you want, Obi Toppin. This year, it's shoot all the threes you want, Josh Hart. If he's hitting those threes at a 50% clip,
it's over. It's over. Because that's all you got. That's all y'all got. Yeah, because you're not going to be able to stop everybody else full time like that. Like, if he's hitting those threes, it's a wrap. Get the broom. Yep.
Yeah, facts. And just to throw in my two cents about Josh Hart, because everyone pretty much said everything that needed to be said about his game tonight. I did think that he did start the game a bit slow. It did take him some time to get into the rhythm of the game. It did seem like he was a bit hesitant at times.
Was
Wasn't
he?
didn't know whether he should take the shot or drive to the basket, whatever the case may be. But as the game went on and he started to get his rhythm into the game, he started to become more effective. And last 5 minutes of the game, hit those big threes. I think it was three threes within the last 5 minutes, which was, major for the Knicks at that time, because that's when the Sixers were on the Knicks' heels, and the Knicks needed every single one of those threes
Yeah.
to increase the lead to keep the Sixers off of them. And wait, and yeah, if Josh Hart knocks down his threes, yeah, it's pretty much game over, because even the Sixers today, every time they always shaded two players towards Brunson, and that second player who they shaded towards Brunson was the guy who was supposed to be guarding Josh Hart, and it just let Josh Hart just roam the court and try and always had two guys shaded on Brunson. So Josh Hart's gonna always have those shots. He's always gonna have those opportunities to like get into spaces and things of that nature to make something happen. So all Josh Hart needs to do is just take advantage of those opportunities, and if he does, yeah, it's game, set, match for the Knicks.
Yeah, game set match for the Knicks for sure. For sure, for sure. I'm not even gonna lie. After the way Josh Hart was passing up shots, in my head, I'm like, yo, sit that man down. If he's not gonna shoot, sit it down. That's what I was thinking. I was like, man, we might have to take out Josh or Bogey. No, that's what I was saying, take out Josh McBride. I was like, take out Josh McBride, and we can go small or something. I was thinking go small. Go Brunson McBride, Devo. OG Mitch or Hardstyle, whatever. I was thinking go small because I'm just like, he is not going. If he's not going to shoot, we're in trouble. But he shot the rock. Give him all the credit. And he hit some big ones and he helped win the game for us. For sure. For sure. For sure. Also, Bojan too, man.
Let's
Bojan
talk
too.
about
So,
it.
speaking about apologies. Speaking
Let's
of
talk about it.
apologies. Ebony, and Liga. I could just trade apology papers.
I told Lee, if you already seen the chat, I told Lee if Bogey keep this up, I do a breakdown video and I sign the form. I do it all.
Let's go.
Print
I gotta give Lee his props
them
because
up.
Lee said all year long when it comes playoff time. Bogey has been there. He's done that, and he will perform in the playoffs. It's playoff time. First shot he made, weird one, but it was a banker three. Hey, it still counts for three, and it went in. The second shot he made was pure, and ever since then he was giving him hell. The Knicks did a really good job hunting Maxey and having Bogey post up Maxey. And do a couple of turnaround shots in that mid-range area. And he played some defense as well. He wasn't horrible on defense. He wasn't horrible on defense. So like when you're looking at plus minuses, Bogey 24 minutes on the night, plus 27 Bogey. Gotta give him his props. Got to.
Y'all mind if I praise God real quick?
Go ahead.
Bogdanovich is retired. My man is double O Bodega. Listen, I love this dude. He is a dog in the playoffs. Now, I have had the opportunity. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. I work from home. I can watch a lot of ball. And over the last couple of years, I've watched Utah. Utah is one of those states that they have a city that has deep, rich basketball culture from the franchise, and they've done a good job of bringing in role players when they had Mitchell Robinson and Rudy Gobert to surround them. And one of those role players was Bogdanovich. And I noticed this guy, even though they would get eliminated early in the playoffs, this guy would play his ass off, and he would always play better in the postseason than he would in the regular season. Those are the type of guys that I love. Josh Hart is proven to be one of those guys as well. Mitchell Robinson's proven to be one of those guys. Bodie has been one of those guys. He was that way in Indiana. He was that way in Utah. Now, in the playoffs, Bodie's used to playing 36 minutes. This season, he played 19. You cannot congratulate Bodie without congratulating Tom Thibodeau, who for the first time this season, Bodie was a first sub off the bench. I saw that and I was like, oh shit. My man's got something up his sleeve. He had something up his sleeve. Tibbs was balling and freestyling all night. We will get to that. But that Bodie substitution, he's like, I'm going to give you 25 minutes. And in those 25 minutes, he shot 50% from three and snatched down 7 rebounds and played gritty, hard-nosed defense. And lucky for him, playing guys who are older, slower.
Exactly.
And rely on the perimeter.
Exactly.
So the matchup worked. It wasn't a night for Precious Achiuwa. It was a night for Bogdanović. Tibbs knew that. Tibbs amplified that. And Bodie, as always, my man comes to play in the hottest moments. What I love so much was a quick decision-making upon the catch. He would catch it, and he would make a quick call, either run to the basket, pull up for a midi after 2 dribbles, or drain that 3. And I'm telling you, if he's on, this series ends in 4. He is more than anyone the key off the bench to have that heater that is unstoppable from 3, because these Philly wing guys, they're not the most elite defensive players outside of Batum. And if he can catch fire from the perimeter, the series, again, will be over way quicker than we all thought.
Anything to add to that, Ryan? Or are you going to move on?
I mean, Lee pretty much said everything right there. Bogey is definitely an X factor in this series. If he can... Because Bogey was part of the reason why the Knicks were able to cut down that early lead by the Sixers. Once that second unit came in and Bogey came off the bench, he just started knocking shots, especially that 3 off the glass. And like Lee said, started all, you know, the banks open on Saturdays too. You have to remember that. So, you know, if Bogey can continue to play like this and knocking shots, again, that's another X factor right there for the Knicks, because he's going to come in there during those bench minutes for the Knicks, and he's going to be crucial during those non-Brunson minutes as well, and he could just continue the scoring during those minutes. It just pushes the Knicks further forward in the series.
I agree. And Lee touched on the Tibbs adjustments in the freestyle today, as Ebony likes to call it. He's been in the basement freestyling. What are your thoughts on that? Because I mean, of course, one of the biggest freestyles also today was just the Miles McBride minutes, the Deuce McBride minutes in general, have him playing on ball. Maybe, you know, or just even just have him playing on ball in the fourth quarter and having Jalen Brunson off ball. Like, it's funny. I've been asking for that since last year. It's crazy he's doing it this year, because I was asking for that last year, and he's doing that this year in the fourth quarter in the playoffs with Deuce McBride, who hasn't done it all year. Like, to me, that's blowing my mind. The fact that I haven't really seen that all season, and he's going into the playoffs game one going, all right, Deuce McBride, you make the plays, and Jalen Brunson goes off ball. Like, what coach am I watching? Like, what is this? This is the same guy who had Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, that I remember back in the day, Derrick Rose, they would double and triple team this kid all game long. And they would still just give him the ball right back. And the reason why people say that you can't win with small guards is because of that strategy of, we're not going to have that small guard be off ball at all. The key to winning with small guards is having him off ball sometimes. And to me, that was a big decision that paid off to me in that fourth quarter with having Deuce McBride being on board. But, you know, shout out to Tibbs for doing that. And also shout out to Deuce for being prepared to handle it and do it without fear and make a couple of big plays. I don't know if you guys have anything else that you saw where you feel like he made an adjustment.
Yeah, this the Mitch, you know, sticking with Mitch. You know, like you mentioned, the Nova boys for a minute were off, all of them. Like Ryan mentioned, Josh Hart had a slow start, but he picked it up because, you know, Brunson didn't shoot well. Dante, he did hit a big 3, but he was the only Nick at halftime with a negative plus minus. True. That was him. He was. And Embiid was the only Sixer with a positive plus minus.
True.
Yeah. So Dante, he didn't have the best of game, but so Thibodeau realizing that and not just being going with comfortability, just being like, okay, Dante is going to do his thing, but just going with who was doing something, who's impacting the game. That was my biggest criticism with Tibbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going with who impacts the game the most. And he's doing that. And as long as he does that, I'm cool. He got a fan in me.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. By the way, high plus minus of the night, Deuce McBride, 37.
He had the highest plus minus at halftime at plus 25. Awesome.
Yeah. Deuce McBride. Plus, yeah. Mm-hmm. Deuce McBride. Game ball tonight for sure. For sure. For sure.
I am so happy to be on a podcast where you can have whatever opinion you want, but if it's an opinion that everyone doesn't agree with, they will challenge you. And Jay Ellis and Ryan challenged me heavy last year when I said fire Tibbs. And I had to defend that take many times on this show. And once I changed my opinion, y'all also allowed me to do that as well. You didn't hold it against me. You understood why I didn't. And you allowed me to make a case for why I was. And tonight, there were many things that he did that I absolutely loved. How about all the off-ball motion, Ebony, that we saw from the Knicks when Brunson was struggling? Guys trying to get open, trying to come closer to help relieve him, but take some of the pressure off of him. Guys rearranging and re-situating on the perimeter to try to get more wide-open looks. Bogey specifically and Josh Hart specifically, and also Tibbs not being afraid to run McBride and Brunson together, which we hadn't seen much of that since OG came back and got that starting spot back from injury. We hadn't seen McBride run with the starters or pair with Brunson so much in the backcourt. Tibbs did that. Tibbs knew when to bench Ihart, didn't go back to him, knew when to bench Dante DiVincenzo, didn't go back to him, stuck with Josh Hart, and that decision helped win this game. There were so many little small wrinkles and big wrinkles that Tom Thibodeau did tonight, and he out-coached Nick Nurse. Like, that should not be forgotten. This was a masterclass coaching performance from Tom Thibodeau, and I'm so glad that I'm at least a year in, back on the Tibbs train. Extend this man. Let's go.
Yeah, give him that. This
is levels to this.
This levels to no this. Oh, man.
Where my Mitch at?
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
color, but.
Yeah. Yo, Mitch held this man to 1 point in the fourth quarter.
Yo, crazy.
Look, yo, real concern though, for real, not concern for us, but for the 76ers, historically speaking, Embiid hasn't really scored in the fourth quarter a lot in the series. That's been his biggest problem. So with a guy like Mitch pounding him in the fourth quarter, it still might be a pretty problem, especially with the way he's being hobbled right now. So this could be another situation for those guys, for sure. For sure, for sure. Now, I want to get into something a little bit serious, but not too serious.
Before we get there, I want to say something about Embiid.
Go ahead.
Clyde will say, Embiid shaking and no bacon.
Yeah, shaking and no bacon at all, man. None. Yeah. Yeah, no meat. Pause. No meat.
I was crying.
Oh man.
Yo, salute to the chat as well, Hall. Salute to the chat. I haven't salute to chat in a long time. I just been talking and yapping my gums. Shout out to Picks with Timmy, Fritz Alessandro, Knicks Nation TV, Michael Moss, John Smith. Yeah, who else? We got Prezi, the boss is up here in the building. Shout out to Clory Lee. He said, Jay Ellis eating a lot of crow tonight, y'all. Yeah, I'll eat that Bojan crow. I'll eat that. Robert Paris, APAP, Logic Sir, Space Ghost. Who else? Well,
shout out to Space Ghost talking about that. Josh Hart had that special milk.
Oh, he did that. Yeah, man. Straight from the booby, man. If that's what you got to do to hit threes. So tell your wife, double up tomorrow, man. Double up.
Oh, man. That's the beer cap with the straws.
he said two fists.
Bad boys. You make my day.
You don't got to go to Cambodia for that. That's what they're
doing. Get it straight from the source.
Straight from the source. Take that, Sergeant Sources, all right?
Damn, y'all cooking.
Oh, all right, shout out to Space Ghost, Nick Yak, and Grill, Just Nick. Everybody else is rocking with the show. If you like the show, hit that like and subscribe. We have every game talking Knicks and giving breast jokes. All right, cool. Remember we had like an OnlyFans run where it was like OnlyFans jokes for like a week?
Oh man, yeah. I had to stop. Good time. Family show. That good was times. On me.
All right. Now let's have a conversation. All right. Funny enough, the person I was worried about the least, I started to get worried about today. I'm gonna do this like a job where I list all the good things first. All right. Jalen Brunson, our leader, been our guy, our rock all year. Even at his worst, he still brings two to the ball and can make plays off of that, right? And he's brought two to the ball. But you know what I like that he did today? He played hard-nosed defense. He got a key steal that led to a fast break. He fought over screens when it was Joel Embiid, Maxey, screen-to-screen stuff. He fought over screens. He got five offensive rebounds, so he was crashing the glass. He did all the little things that you need to do to win. But what he didn't do was, one, he didn't score the ball, which is what we looked to him to do. I understand sometimes you have off nights, you have guides on you making it difficult to score sometimes, and it might be difficult to score. Okay, cool. What I didn't like was I think he was calling his number too much. And he's gotten away with it. He's been successful at it a lot of times this season. This game, I wish he read the game better sooner. Because when it got to the fourth quarter, it seemed like he trusted his teammates a lot more and was giving up the ball. And that's when we started to blow the game open. We have 40% shooters on this team who can hit shots. If they're going to double you and they're going to triple you, got to give up the ball. Just got to give up the ball. We're more equipped to handle those double triple teams this year more than ever. Got to give up the ball. So Brunson, I know he's killing himself in the teeth. He had five turnovers today. Didn't shoot well. I think he shot, like 16% from three and 30% from the field, something crazy. He made some big plays in the end, but I just need him to be more cognizant of getting everybody else involved and just moving the ball more. But amazingly, we won this game with our best player not playing his best, which really, to me, not a good sign for the 76ers. Not a good sign for the 76ers moving forward that we're able to beat them with Jalen Brunson playing like absolute dog poop. So I'm glad we won. Jalen Brunson in his post game said, when asked why he won, he said Dukes McBride. And I want him to be the reason, a big reason why we win the next game. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick. Yeah, we dominated from the whole game. The whole game, even at halftime, we were crushing them on rebounds, offensive rebounds too, and fast break points, which I said in the pregame that we had to do. We had to get in transition. They set us their week there. So, you know, it was like 20-26 or so, I believe I said. That's what they're ranked in the league with opponents' fast break points.
Right.
And we did well. What we finished with, I'm looking at right now. 27 to their 11.
Yeah, we killed them in the fast break points.
And in rebounds, 55 to 33. I also said that was going to be the difference too, because Tobias Harris is their leading rebounder.
Yeah, that's you already they fool on the rebounds.
Tobias Harris is your leading rebound. I get Embiid was hurt, but the fact that the fact that he is hurt, and you got people like Josh Hart coming out of nowhere snatching your soul, really, you know. so yeah, it's crazy. And then we had double digit assists in a halftime, and most times we have double digit assists by halftime, it equals a win.
Right.
Remember, I said I was going to keep my eye on that. Mm. I've been doing that. Yeah, definitely. just not living and dying by the three, moving the ball, trusting your teammates. Jalen Brunson did better at that.
Yeah, towards the second half. Yeah,
he did better. Because in the beginning, I agree, it was a lot of hero ball. Mm-hmm. I had mentioned that also in the pregame, that that was a worry of mine. Please don't go back to that.
Yeah, you definitely said that.
Because in pressure situations, when you're nervous, even the stars get nervous. You got a lot of stuff on you. You're trying to prove all these haters wrong. You know, so he might have put a little bit more pressure than he should have on himself today. Understandable. And then he settled himself down. But he did was playing some hero ball.
Yeah, for sure.
I love the adjustment. The first quarter, you know what I said? I said just like in the pregame, just like a boxer, the first quarter, you're filling your opponent up. And I was not worried. I didn't oh boy, what y'all doing? I'm like, they filling them out.
Right.
Just like a boxer, first round, what you giving me?
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't too worried either because I felt like it was more jitters in that first quarter. I felt like we were getting, even though Brunson was putting up some shots I didn't necessarily like, I also felt like we were getting some really good shots too. Like the Hartenstein floater in the lane was a really clean shot off a ball of movement. There was a lot of shots that were like, there were a lot of in and out shots in that first quarter. A lot of in and out shots. So I felt like, you know, we settled down, we'll be fine. And then the bench too was like, Philly's bench, you know from experience. And actually, Lee said this. You know, when Embiid's not on the floor, it's really a struggle for them to score. We've seen that before when we played them when Embiid wasn't playing. So that's the time to kind of catch up and see what we can do. And it kind of worked out like that.
Jalen Brunson was ass cheats. And one of my keys to the game last time that we had our pre-series pod was winning the non-star minutes. And that was both the minutes Embiid's not playing and the minutes that Jalen Brunson wasn't playing. Tonight, we absolutely won the minutes Jalen Brunson wasn't playing. And sometimes we're actually better without him. That won't be the case moving forward. I have no doubt between him and his father's relationship, him and Tibbs' relationship, and his insane, insatiable desire to win, that he'll do everything he can to watch the tape and be back to normal next game. What I didn't like the most was a shot diet. Typically, he gained some momentum by getting to the rack, getting some fouls, easy free throws, or he'll shoot one or two threes in the first 6 minutes of a game to gain a little bit of the rhythm, and then he moves into the mid-range. Today, because of the blitzing and trapping, he kind of started off in the mid-range, and those shots were shaky. He got blocked a couple of times or behind by Maxey, and I think that hurt his confidence, and he never really would gain the momentum. And it never went back to his shot diet rotation after that first quarter either, which really stunted him in gaining type of flow with his shot. So, again, no doubt that he'll come back. And, man, with the way the rest of the team is playing, y'all, Jalen Brunson's back. If he's playing 80% of what he usually does, I don't think this is going to be a series that we have much to worry about. And it's also going to be a series that allows the other guys to gain confidence and momentum moving into round two.
I agree.
Yeah, and I just want to just throw it right quick. Again, like I think I mentioned it on the previous podcast, or I mentioned on the Morning Brew show, that the Sixers typically do defend Brunson well. Brunson never really had a great game against the Sixers all season. He averages about 22 points per game, 40% shooting against the Sixers. So, you know, when the Sixers put Oubre on Brunson, I mean, Oubre is not a consistent defender, but it seems that he knows how to defend Brunson really well. He typically does well against Brunson on the defensive side of the ball. So I always knew that this was a series where he might struggle at times to get his basket just based on the regular season and based how the Sixers guard him. But I do think that as the game went on, I do think Dibs and the coach staff did find ways to get him easier shots. Like at times they would do a pick and roll and switch Maxey on him. And he was able to take advantage of Maxey a few times to get a few buckets as well. And you know, like we mentioned, you know, moving him off ball and off of screens and things of that nature to get, you know, to get him, you know, a bit open so that, you know, he can actually operate. But the Sixers typically defend him well. And yeah, he did force some shots, you know, some shots he should have never took. And I think it was one of those situations where it's like, you know, it's like you want to do well so bad that, you know, sometimes you kind of force it a bit. when in some situations that you shouldn't force it and you should pass the ball. But I'm confident in Brunson. I'm fully confident that he's going to correct himself. And, you know, and watch tape, see what the Sixers are doing with him on defense and turn it up for the rest of the games in this series. But I'm not really worried.
Yeah. Oubre, before this game, forced Brunson to shoot, what, 31% from the field when guarded by Oubre. So it's going to be tough. You're going to watch some tape. You're going to figure it out. And we're going to get this win. We're going to get the next win, man. We're still in really good shape. When your best player is struggling and we still win, we're in great shape. We're in great shape. Don't let them have an actual decent game. Don't let them actually have a Brunson game, because then it's another animal. It's another animal. And on top of that, I just remember this: when you're able to single coverage Embiid, you take away a lot. I remember the 76ers falling to the Celtics. I remember that because old man, what's the old man center on the Celtics?
Horford?
Huh? Horford. Old man Horford guarding Embiid one on one. Shut that down. And once that happened, the Sixers were in trouble. We got a Mitch who can hold him down one on one. And he's not going to score on Mitch. Those little fadeaway jumpers, he's not going to be able to do that on Mitch. He's going to have to come up with force and dunk, and he doesn't have the legs to dunk. He's not. The only other option he's really going to have to score on Mitch really is to get him into foul trouble. He's going to have to drive hard and bait him into fouls. That's the only option he really has against Mitch right now. So that matchup is going to be huge for us, it's looking like. So we're in great shape. We're in great shape. Yep.
Great shape.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, Spider-Man. Spider-Man. we getting this chip.
Let's go. Hell yeah, we are.
Yeah, it's just too much. Like, like you just said, our superstar didn't have a good game. I the person, you know, beat me, OG, did what he did, but he didn't have a spectacular game either. Then Dante DiVincenzo didn't have a spectacular game.
Nope.
They were very, all of them were timely, though. Like, you get what I'm saying? When we needed them, when they blitzed Brunson, he was able to get OG an open look, and he knocked that down.
That's all. He wasn't able to do that last year. He was not able to do that last year. He wasn't.
That is it. Our emergency exits are immaculate.
Like, exactly. That was Quentin Grimes and RJ Barrett, and that's what that was last year. And it was bricking those. And now we got OG and McBride hitting them. So it's different. It's different, man. It's different. It's different.
Yeah. It is. And then again, sorry, defense, Jay. Defense makes a difference. That is our identity. That's why I was so mad about the Grimes trade, because I thought we were getting two cones. Where my cones at? Oh, I don't need to bring them out. I don't need to bring them out, because Bogey on his bag. That baby posting up. He on the dribble. He hit on the pull up. He shooting. I'm telling you, he keep this up. I'm signing in a heartbeat. Look, I got the pen ready.
Pass it around.
I'm with it. Yes. In the breakdown video. Yes, I love what he's doing. Absolutely. Tibbs, Rap City. He'd be right down there with Tigger. Like,
exactly. Freestyling. Exactly. Freestyling those rotations. All right.
Keep doing what you're doing. And his twin, they both pulled up with their ceilings missing.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, man.
Damn.
catching strays
for sure. All right, good chat, guys. I see nobody wants to be in the Discord to hype up the win. I guess we'll move on to another part of the show.
Bruh
picks. Yeah, bro picks today.
I did good yesterday with my
I do got one.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we got one bro pick, and for those who don't know, bro picks are usually the worst plays of the game. And if it's not this game, it could be any game. And also, it could just be something stupid, dumb, idiotic that happened that you want to point out and just give it a
bruh.
So let's get to it. Ryan G, what you got, man? What's your bro today?
My prop pick goes to half of the TNT crew, Shaq and Chuck, because I was watching Inside the NBA last night after the Pelicans and Kings game, where the Pelicans won to get the 8th seed to face the Thunder in the playoffs. So, you know, they were making their picks, you know, regarding who they think is going to win each series in the first round. And when it got to the Knicks and Sixers, like, we already know, Shaq and Chuck, they don't like the Knicks. So of course they picked the Sixers to win the series. What irked my nerves was when Ernie and Kenny picked the Knicks. Number one, Shaq sucked his teeth. Number one. Number two,
you're too big to Chuck, be sucking your teeth.
Exactly. And number two, Chuck got an attitude when Ernie and Kenny picked the Knicks over the Sixers. And my thing is this, it's like, all right, I know y'all don't like the Knicks, whatever the case may be, but it's like, if they decide to pick the Knicks over the Sixers, why are you having an attitude for? Like, yo, like, come on now. So for me, it's like, all right, so since you're going to have that energy, keep that same damn energy. I don't want y'all picking the Knicks. No, I don't want y'all picking the Knicks at no time during the playoffs. Next round, don't pick the Knicks. Conference finals, don't pick the Knicks.
Bruh.
NBA finals, don't pick the Knicks.
Facts.
For years coming, don't pick the damn Knicks.
The bandwagon is closed. Energy.
Keep it.
Bruh.
I'm with you. The switch up. All the switches happening right now. Hey, y'all was on that side when it started. Stay on that side. And just hold that L. Just keep holding L's. Because it's coming. Those L's are coming. And all that talk about to Perk, Shaq talk about, well, because you know Perk picked the Knicks too. And then Perk called them out for not watching Knicks games. Which for Knicks fans, it's obvious that Shaq and Chuck don't watch Knicks games. And when he calls it out, you know where they go to. They go to the card. I want championships. Championships don't mean you're a good analyst. I'm sorry.
Give them a broad pick again for that. That was crazy.
I'm sorry. It don't make you a good analyst because you won championships. It don't make you a good analyst watching the games of the teams you're analyzing.
And that's how you know Perk hit a sore spot. When people start going to personal insults, you hurt them. You already know.
Mm-hmm.
You're in their head. You accolades. First of all, one of the people on the panel don't got something he got.
That's a fact.
It's a championship.
That's a fact. Hey, listen. JJ Redick never he was never an MVP. He wasn't a He's a better analyst than everybody on that panel put together, right?
Facts. That's facts.
So, hold that out.
Bruh.
Yeah. Brought him a couple times.
And shout out to the chat.
And I would recommend adding them to as permanent bras every day we do the podcast.
Oh yeah, yes. Because I forgot to add.
We've been forgetting.
Paul Pierce.
We be on our black hoodies.
Yeah.
We've been forgetting.
Yeah, corny for sure.
It's a can of corn because we got Holly Rowe in there. Mm-hmm. So can of corn.
That's a fact. You give Paul Pierce a bra just because he's breathing, right? Gotta do that.
Bruh.
And Gilbert, I get kicked out of arenas.
Mm-hmm. Also, wait a minute. Doesn't Paul Pierce have to wear a Brunson jersey?
Yes, he does.
If the Knicks make it out the first round, ooh, buddy.
Hell yeah.
Get ready.
I feel like that Tupac song. Yeah, I feel like the Tupac song for these haters. First off, F you. In the click you claim.
Word. Yo, I'm out to be like Drake and get the Tupac AI and rap about him.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not originality to me. That's just stepping in somebody's shoes.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, and shout to the chat for reminding me. Bro picked also another bro pick. Next bro pick goes to the 76ers are talking junk, but this person in particular, Paul Reed.
Yep.
Bruh.
Paul Reed talking about, oh, we wanted the Knicks. We thought we could beat the Knicks. You cannot be the 13th man on the bench talking smack. And then when it's time to play the game, you drop an astonishing 4 points. And five rebounds.
4 points. It was lucky. My man was wishing upon every guy he knew for them shots to go in.
Right. And got your shot blocked by Big Mitch. And you were a team worst negative 21 on the night. Shut up. Just shut up and take your spanking like a man. Just shut up.
Yo, he ain't learned from Tari Eason. You don't do that. If you're not the guy, you don't do that.
You're just making it hot for everybody else who actually has to play important minutes.
Tari Eason got his whole team eliminated from playoff contention because he couldn't keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Talking about the Warriors, and they come out with the bottles with the Warriors. You know, Warriors.
Yeah, Warriors come out and play. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Warriors smacked that ass by 30.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Josh Milk had his Josh Milk. Look, Josh Milk.
It's a 360. It all circles back. It's a 360.
Yeah, exactly. Josh Hart had his special milk. He out here, breast milk, you make my. We
could. Take that. All right. All right, man. I'm good. I'm out.
I got some bruh picks. Well, mine was Oubre, one of them, but we already talked about that.
Okay.
And I got to. I know we're not spending the block on each other, on people, on each other. So I'm not. It's not really each other because there's a lot of doubters everywhere that this guy plays against, and people just won't give him his credit. So the Mitch doubters, man. The Mitch doubters. Now, I be in these social media streets heavy, and I get a lot of flack behind a lot of my takes. Like, people don't get where I'm coming from a lot, you know, and I understand that because I always say, another one of my sayings is, we don't all watch the game the same, and that's okay. That's okay. That is okay. We don't. Some people look for certain things, some people look for other things, you know. It's okay. We don't all watch the game the same. It's all right. We can have two different, you know, point of views, and that's okay too. But I got a lot of flack in these streets about Mitch. I got a lot of flack about, why are you a Mitch fan? I'm a Mitch fan? What kind of question is that? Like, do you see what this guy, again, this guy does all the little things, that the dirty work, the little things great, that make the impact the game so, like, in a big way. So it's little things, the little details of the game, but they impact the game in such a big way. The fact that Philly wants to get into transition, but they can't because they have to game rebound on this guy. The fact that he is playing disciplined defense, not jumping at it, but using his length. When you go up, I go up now. Yeah. When I see you go up, I contest now. Like the fact that he's not trying to block everything, but he can probably if he tried, but it's just the fact that he's playing disciplined defense, his impact, and like it was straight disrespect. And no shade to iHeart. He's a great player, he's a good player, a good role player, but I understand his role. So for many people to just disregard what Mitch brings, I have even the Philadelphia fans. They didn't even mention Mitch. It was straight with iHeart is supposed to guard Embiid. No, iHeart and Mitch is supposed to guard Embiid. Yeah. It's just the disrespect. So all the doubters, this is what I meant when I said it's levels to this.
Spun that block.
Bruh.
Yo, everybody's going to be mad annoying to everybody in the spaces tomorrow, but I already know that. Spinning that block. Spinning the block on the spaces.
Spinning that. Spinning.
Jump on it. Jump on it.
I'm spinning.
Kimo Sabe, jump on it.
I'm gonna let people rock, but it's just like I got a lot. Like y'all don't understand. Like,
I get it.
You know the meme with the guy with the sword and he's surrounded with like preparing for like 100 people coming at them. That was me in these space in these, mm-hmm. these social media streets. You know,
I have no doubt.
I agree. Yeah, man. Spin that block, Emily. Spin those blocks. Yeah, spin those blocks.
I'm about to. Nah. Just please stop putting people in boxes, y'all. That's it.
Yo, okay. Emily, did you see the bounce pass did you see the bounce pass to
Dante, right? Yes, I did. You know oh, I he was saw it.
Beautiful.
You know I saw it. He didn't make it. I think he might
have no, missed it.
But it's still that pass was on point. So all the again, I never question Mitch's vision. If you can get a offensive rebound surrounded in a crowd and find the open shooter, that is vision. That is vision. So sorry, I don't know.
Mitch is like, yo, I seen Harden sign, dude. I could do that. I was like, what? Said,
let me show you. Let
what? Oh no! I was like, what?
He said, look, like he hit him with the heat.
Oh man, maybe Dante might have been a surprise. That's why he might have missed. Like, wait, what? Yeah. Oh man, yo, salute to Jay Boogie too. I see you, Jay Boogie. He says, if you're not Willis Reed, then you're not a Reed. Shout out to the family, big ups to the KLT, please. Hit that like button. Salute. 3 capital S's. All right. Shout out to our guy, Jay Boogie. Always represent. All right. Cool. Any more?
No, we said Uber. I'm good. I don't think I have any more that I can remember. You know, my memory shot.
Got you.
But I'm good. I thought I had an Uber pick.
You got any Brusley?
Yeah, I got one bro pick. Now, while everyone's watching playoff games today, our U.S. government gave away almost $100 billion to foreign aid. The $61 billion to Ukraine, $8 billion to Taiwan, and $26 billion to Israel. And every single Democrat voted for the aid to Ukraine, and almost every single Democrat and Republican voted for the aid to Taiwan and Israel. While people are dying of fentanyl, the border is open and crazy and letting insane migrants in. Child sex slavery and sex slavery in general is wrecking the country. Inflation is making it hard for people to buy groceries, much less a house or a car or a property or investments. To give that much money to foreign aid when Americans are suffering, to me, is a dereliction of duty. And I think that when election time comes out, we should remember all this and vote all of these bums on both parties out, depending on what state you're in, and get new people in here who put Americans first in terms of supporting us and helping us just put food on the table, not asking for anything crazy, not asking for a handout, not asking for anything. Just made it easier for me to start a business, easier for me to put food on the table, and easy for our most vulnerable to have a decent way of life, our poorest in this country and most disabled in this country. So I didn't want the day to go away without holding those accountable on both parties for being bums and giving away our tax dollars, hard-earned. I'm sure all of us, our tax dollars are hard-earned that we go to work for and it's taken out of our check to go to other countries while Americans continue to suffer. But Upik, go Knicks, baby. Go Leon Rose. Go Tom Thibodeau. Bruh. Go Jalen Brunson. Go Knicks.
All right.
Here go my Upiks. You got Deuce. I'm chilling with Deuce. You see, hold on. Where we at? Here we go. Deuce. Little baby dog.
Right. Hold on, shoot. He's about to give me.
All black, too. Little dog and all black.
All right.
All black. Ready, right?
Camo.
You got Josh Hart. And here we go with Mitch. That's my oopics.
That's your oopics. Ooh,
yeah, because they definitely.
Hey, Ebony, happy 420.
Man,
I'm gonna celebrate as soon as this podcast is over.
Yo, Lee's about to get me in my government reparations talk. I'm not gonna hold you, boy. I'm not gonna hold you. I'm like, every time I see foreign people get all this money, I'm like, y'all still owe black people money.
I almost came with the pie like this.
I'm like, y'all sold black people money. We black people built this country for free. Y'all was able to get trillions of dollars into different banks and build your government and build your economy off the backs of black people. then promised us money and 40 acres of mule, then didn't give it to us, then gave Japanese reparations, Native Americans reparations, Jewish people reparations, and then burned our communities to the ground when we actually were able to build wealth. Y'all give people reparations, y'all give people money all over the place. I keep saying the government owes us money.
Bruh. And then gaslight you and tell you, but then build y'all, your own. Y'all owe me, damn it. Multiple times.
Every time someone's like, black people don't need reparations. It's like, do your research on how many other groups of people in this country got reparations, and then tell me if they did 1/10 of what black people have done to build the economy of the United States, and they haven't.
Stop trolling. Don't be a troll.
I think it's normal to debate on how tax dollars are used. I think it's our money that's being used. And I don't have huge issues on how it's used by Democrats or Republicans, because that's just going to happen. We're all going to debate about that. But when it goes to foreign countries, that's when it really pisses me off, because Americans, no matter how you vote, we're all struggling. Things are expensive. JL, as you know, you just bought property. You know, some of us are working 2 jobs, 3 jobs, trying to care for a child, for a parent, my mom, I'm trying to help her out financially. And it's hard out here. Biden's in charge, Trump's in charge. Both parties are giving our money to foreign countries. That should piss us all off, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Life be life in, and they just ignore us.
I agree.
Especially when one of those countries is committing genocide on the other side of the world.
I mean, and let's be real. We already get my super government talk.
It's a whole other podcast part two.
y'all get me on my radical. I got my Malcolm X shirt on today. Lord.
See, that's the type of mood you was on. That's the type of mood. See the playoffs. See, I see the black too. That's it.
Oh man. All Americans need help, but
yeah.
Especially saying reparations. Anyway. I'm just saying. That's how I see it.
We might need another pod.
Yeah. This is a super black pod. Shout out to Lee. But oh man, all right. We going to Ooh Picks, right? You said Ooh Picks, Josh Hart.
Oh yeah, the fight too. Even though my man Ryan Garcia, he need bruh pick too, because that baby, I don't know. The only person I seen at a weigh-in that chugs a beer. Like, you're not supposed to do that when you're about to fight somebody to try to knock your head off. Like, yeah.
Word. I don't get that's a fact. That's a fact. All right. Yeah. My Ooh Preacher goes to McBride hitting shots, man. He's a beast. He's been a beast.
Yo.
Big Breeze.
That contract. Shout out Leon Rose. Signed him that deal as soon as IT was traded.
How can he not be? Leon wasn't even in the talks for executive of the year.
They probably said because he didn't coach, he didn't execute to one game for like 30 seconds. So now he can't be. Now
where's you going with this?
Now he can't be in consideration of executive of the year. You know how that goes.
Wild.
Yeah. Oh, Craig said, what did you think about the Embiid-Mitch jump ball? Dog, they threw the ball to Embiid. Like, they didn't even throw the ball straight up in the air. They threw the ball to Embiid. In my mind, I'm like, there's no way Embiid's going to win this tip on a hobbled leg and Mitch is able-bodied. Like, Mitch is winning this tip. They didn't even throw the ball. They didn't even throw the ball in Mitch's direction.
Tell them how you really feel, Jay.
They didn't really throw the ball in Mitch's direction at all. They just literally threw the ball to Embiid's side. It's crazy. If anybody has tape on that, just rewind the tape and watch the toss. And look how crazy that toss was.
Yeah, guess who was tossing it? Scott Foster.
Tim Donahue Jr.
Oh man!
But also, you know what was crazy? Deej had came to the space and had said it how Leon Rose and James Dolan sent out a video to like the refs or the association to show the difference in fouls. Show
how.
Yeah. So they were talking about that. That's different. It's because they feel they have a chance. So you're not going to ruin my chance with your BS. So look, I see you. You hear what I'm saying? This time they feel like they have a chance. Like, I see what you're doing, here we go. You know, like.
And if, yeah, and yo, and Fritz said it, they had a write up with the percentages. And the thing that stood out was Scott Foster had above average foul calls on personal fouls. But what also stood out was whenever he was challenged, mm-hmm. he had the lowest percentage of overturned calls. And today we challenged him twice and won both. Mm-hmm. So we beat the odds today, damn it. We challenged Scott Foster calls and won both of them. So kudos for the Knicks. They do research. They go above and beyond. They don't just do research on players and tendencies. Doing research on ref tendencies and releasing them is a different strategy I've never seen before, man. They putting it out there before. It's like, you're not giving Embiid all these fouls for no reason. We're going to have these things printed up just to let people know what's up. We know what's up. Like, man.
That tells you what they think of this team, though, also.
That's true.
Like, that they never done this before. And it's because now they feel like we have a chance. But we don't. We might not have a chance if your referees get in play. So now I'm going to show you what your referees are doing. I see what your referees are doing. No.
I agree.
I see this.
I agree. I agree.
Clutch move. I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right, yo. That's the show. Thank you guys for watching, man. We had a great show. We had a great win. Man. Game one versus the 76ers ends in a Knicks win. Usually that first game is crucial. We got home court advantage for a reason. We didn't duck the smoke. And we get home court advantage so we can have the home crowd behind us while we're beating these teams. And it paid off today. So, Knicks fans, applaud yourself for gutting out this season through the good, the bad, the ugly, the down times, the down Julius Randle, the down OG Anunoby, the down Mitchell Robinson. You still battle back 150 games this season. Applaud yourself for still rooting for this team. And we're going to keep going. We're going to keep applauding. We're going to keep sticking it to these ESPN analysts. We're going to keep winning, and we're going to rub it in their faces later. And I can't wait till this series is over, because the next series, I'm going to have a picture of Paul Pierce wearing a Jalen Brunson jersey. All right. Let's get it, man. Let's get it, man. All right, man. Lee, let her know where you find you, man. Let's wrap it up.
I want to give a shout out to, so you love the show. If you love the show, there's always another show happening in the chat. And that show is a two-man show between Alexander and Pits for Timmy, two of my favorite people in the chat and two of my favorite KOT fans. They're always going back and forth, roasting each other, roasting everybody else, sometimes roasting me, which I love. So shout out Alexander and shout out Pits for Timmy. Find me on Twitter. @_LeeEstobedo, LeeEstobedo, or search #bum, #Mavs, and you'll see me roasting these Mavs bums in the comments. Star of the day, because people were talking trash about Jalen Brunson and Mitchell Robinson, the Knicks today, so I had to hop in those mentions and talk a little trash back. I'll be doing that all weekend. I'll be here all weekend and next week, hearing those mentions.
All right. Salute. All right. Ebony, let me know where I can find you.
Find me here every post game. You can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram at Mad Nick Fan. Run the pregame space every pregame. We there. More welcome to join us on Twitter. About an hour and a half. Call your techniques. And shout out to Jay who joined us today. Appreciate it. I always appreciate it when y'all come through. Definitely. Post game, every post game, we're running for the Liberty games when Liberty season
comes. That's what's up. President Boss says they need a show on the KOT network.
What's that? Liberty?
The picks for Timby and Alex.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, hey, shoot, maybe Liberty too. I don't know. Truth be told, man, I've been wanting to build out summer shows for KOT for longest, which is why I even started to do the game show, just to have content in the summer. You know what I mean? So, listen.
You know who should have a show on KOT, in my opinion?
Happen?
Fritz. I think Fritz should have a show on KOT.
I think so too.
He'd be killer on KOT.
I think
the fifth Beatle, baby. We love you.
Yeah,
Fritz.
Man. I think that'd be. Listen, I try to have a couple of new shows on KOT. It didn't always work out. But hey, man, I'm still looking. I'm still looking.
We'll get this.
Yeah, man. All right. Ryan G, let her know where we can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Ryan G K O T. You can also find me on Instagram at Sir G is chilling.
Sir G is chilling.
That's SirGshillin. And I know I saw some people in the chat that did not agree with my assessment about starting Mitch and starting McBride. But it doesn't matter who starts or who finishes per se, but McBride and Mitch definitely needs to get the majority of the minutes this series. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. And shout out to Fritz, who's been putting out the polls. So you can see me saying stuff and be like, y'all stupid. Y'all shouldn't start McBride. What's the percent? Let me read out the poll results. Cause y'all damn sure this, like, hell no. Nah, what the hell y'all talking about? Start Deuce McBride for game two. 62% said no. 37% said yes. 16 votes. Okay. Start Mitch Robinson for game two. 63% said no. 36% said yes. 19 votes. He's like, y'all fool. Y'all don't know nothing. That's cool.
Y'all still ain't learned your lessons.
Look, if fans would love Embiid and Max to get great starts every game, then okay, that's fine with me. That's what they think, you know. But the way I think about it, I'm like, look, if we have guys on our roster that can slow them down, why not have them start and slow them down so that they don't get into a rhythm?
Yeah.
For the whole game, you know what I mean? I Hart and Dante are gonna still get minutes. It's not like they're not going to play. But it's like my whole thinking is, if they can slow them down, why not slow them down and start again? Why allow them to get into a rhythm and then you're gonna bring in Mitch and then you're gonna bring in McBride, hoping that they can stop them and they're already in a damn rhythm. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And when they get in the rhythm, blame it on them two people.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna blame it on Mitch and McBride. Oh, they couldn't hold nobody. Yeah, because you gave them 8,000 shots when they got into a rhythm. It happens.
Yeah, and just for some context. The 76ers in the second quarter scored 12 points. Guess who was playing majority of that second quarter?
I know.
McBride. Mitch. McBride was on Maxi for most of that second quarter.
And you know,
the fourth quarter,
Kyle
too.
Lowry had 12 points in that third quarter. You know who wasn't playing, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was that whole third quarter. I'm like, bring them in. Bring Mitch back. Bring Deuce back. This is getting out of hand. I didn't like it. And then the fourth quarter.
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, the fourth quarter, Mitch and Deuce came back. And look what happened. They scored 22 points in the fourth quarter when Mitch and McBride were back in the game with Brunson. So we're not just talking out our butts here. This is what happened during the game.
It's like apparently we don't know anything. So, you know, it is what it is. They didn't agree.
Okay.
That's all I gotta say.
It happens again.
It happens. Bare minimum, I don't think OG should be guarding Maxi.
I don't think so either.
I think at least Dante. At least Dante to me is a better matchup.
Dante seemed like he was a little hyper today, and like I believe he has a better second game. Like he has to settle down, kind of like what Josh Hart did, but he did it in the game. In game, you know, maybe Dante couldn't really recognize or know how to do that in game. But I think he has a better second game. Because again, he did hit a huge three for us. I think he hit a three after Embiid had tied the game kind of.
Yeah, he hit a couple. He hit a big three in that first quarter, I think. For sure. All right, cool. Now I'm going to show for real. All right. Ryan G, let them know they can find you, man.
Oh, I already said it.
Okay, my bad. You said you can find me on Instagram on Sir G is chilling. I did the Sir G ish. I did
that. Yeah. I just went off on a tangent.
Okay, my bad. So okay.
I just looked at the votes and was like, how people ain't agree with me. So I was like, let me just say my piece and just leave that.
Do me off. All right. Find us at the KLT Show on Twitter, the Nick of Time Show on Instagram, and the Nick of Time Show on Facebook as well. I don't have any anime recommendations today.
No book club recommendations either.
All right, cool. That's the show, though. We'll be back. Next game is what, Monday? Game is Monday. So we'll be back Monday for your next 76ers post game. Hopefully, we'll be winning that game as well. All right. that is the show. Thank you guys for watching, and as always, shout out to Worldwide West. Everywhere we go, we leave a worldwide mess. Some Nets out here in these Knicks YouTube streets. That's the show. We out of here.
Peace.
That's right. New York, New York, big city of dreams. I'm coming straight out. New York, New York, big city of dreams.